Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
How to stand strong when I'm weak enough to fall. And we're looking at the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. We began looking at this last week as we looked at the armor, we realized, and we talked about this a little bit last week, that the armor is much more than just some nice things to quote or to recite or something that we learned in a Sunday school lesson sometime. The armor of God actually exists. Paul gives us this, and the Lord gives us this through the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, not just as something to recite or something to say or a prayer to pray, but this is actually a blueprint of how to stand strong. Three times in the verses leading up to Paul describing what is the Christian's armor, the armor of God in our lives, three different times in those three or four verses, Paul tells the people, stand strong, stand firm, stand strong, stand firm, stand your ground. And after having done everything to stand, stand. Everybody say stand. He was only saying that to these Christians because there was something going on in their lives that was causing them to want to fall. In fact, in Galatians, when Paul describes his time at Ephesus, he says, I fought wild beasts in Ephesus. So Paul understood what these believers were going through, what they were up against in Ephesus, and he's encouraging them. He's saying, I know that your outside circumstances look like you should give up, quit, and fall, but he's encouraging them, stand strong anyway. Turn to your neighbor and say, stand anyway. Stand anyway. So it's a blueprint for how to stand strong. We looked at three things. As we look at the armor really deals with three areas that we've got to beef up, that we've got to protect to stand strong. It's our heart, it's our head, and it's our hands. Everybody say, my heart, my head, and my hands. And last week we looked at the first three pieces, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the gospel of peace for our feet. And we looked at how that's all armor that deals with our position in Christ to protect our heart. Everybody say, my heart. We've got to have a strong heart if we're going to stand strong. Today we're going to look at the next thing that the armor covers, which is our head. And we're going to talk about having a strong head. Everybody say, have a strong head. Everybody say, have a strong head. Let's read this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 through 17. It says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news so you will be prepared. That's all the armor that covers our inside stuff, our inside parts. Keeps that protected, keeps that strong. That's talking about my heart. My heart. Everybody say, take heart. Verse 16, in addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Verse 17, put on or take up the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All right, so we're going to look today at the helmet of salvation, which protects our head. We're going to come back. I know we skipped the shield of faith. We're going to come back to that next week because the shield and the sword are stuff we have in our hands. You understand what I'm saying? And today we're going to look at the helmet of salvation. We're going to say the helmet of salvation. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I pray that you would anoint me and help me to teach and to preach your precepts, your principles, God, with clarity, with unction, and with anointing. Lord, I pray that you would open up every ear and every heart to hear and to receive everything that you want us to hear and to receive this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would take us to the next step of your word. God, that we would not just hear principles and lessons and teachings, but Lord, that we will have a real encounter with the presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit as we study your word together today. In Jesus' name, everybody said. And in fact, do me a favor. Why don't you put your hand on your belly? Just everybody, let's pray together. Repeat this right after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my ears. Open up my eyes. Let me hear what you want me to hear. Let me see what you want me to see so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We got two dogs. We got a little puppy, a basset hound that, man, we appreciate somebody graciously gave that to us. And my wife really wanted one, and God bless us with that. And so that was awesome. We got a basset hound. He's about, I don't know how old he is, a couple months old. Too young to really quite get it and old enough to really aggravate you. You know what I'm saying? And then we got another dog, Sasha. She's a beagle bulldog mix, and she's pretty cool. She's always been pretty laid back. Anyway, we moved into a new house. Our old house had a fenced-in yard. Our new house didn't have an underground fence, an underground electric fence already there from the previous owner. So we got that all connected, and I had to train Sasha on the electric with the shock collar. That's pretty amazing. Actually, it was great because she's off the leash now. We got a big yard. She can run around. It's awesome. It is hilarious though because we live right in here by the park, and there's always people, constant stream of people walking by, and it's hilarious. Now Sasha has never bit anybody. She's not a mean dog at all. But she kind of looks. She's not a pit bull, but she looks like a pit bull, and she kind of looks a little intimidating when she's running full bore at you, barking like a wild person. Wild dog, as it were. And so it's funny, as people are walking by, they don't realize that she's got an electric fence and won't break that chain. And when she starts to run at people coming across the street, and they begin to jump back because they see this dog running at them, she's just trying to say hi. But they don't understand that, and I get that. But it is funny. I never tell anybody. I just let them get scared. I think it's hilarious. But this is amazing about the shock collar. Once you train these animals with a shock collar, Sasha will not, she will not go anywhere near where she's going to get zapped. She's gotten zapped enough. In fact, she's gotten so good at it now that even when the shock collar's off, she in her mind has learned that that's the barrier. She can't break that barrier or she's going to get an uncomfortable zap. You don't understand what I'm saying? Her mind has been trained. Her head is telling her, if you break this point, if you go beyond this point, you're going to get hurt, so don't do it. Just stay where you are. And I think it's amazing how animals can be trained, how these dogs can be trained to where their head is telling them, do not go this far. In fact, even before we moved in our old house, we had a little fence. Sasha, she can jump and get her nose probably above this pole. She got awesome jumping power. We had this fence that was this tall. She could have easily jumped over this fence at any time. The problem was we got her as a puppy, and when she was a puppy, she could never jump the fence. She never knew that. So she literally never would jump the fence. She could have jumped it like that in a second. But again, her mind from the time she was a puppy conditioned her to say, "You cannot do this." You understand what I'm saying? And listen, just like we can train animals, just like we can train dogs, we can train animals to get certain thoughts in their head and say, don't do this, do this. Guess what? Can I tell you something? Our human minds are no different. Our minds can be trained and conditioned to say, don't go any farther than this or you're going to get hurt. Or to say, you are not capable of doing this, so don't even try. You understand what I'm saying? And Paul says, if you want to stand strong, you have got to have on your mind, protecting your head, the helmet of salvation. Let me say this. If I'm going to stand instead of fall, I have got to let salvation cover every aspect of my mind, of my head, of my brain. In fact, the helmet is so important here in battle and combat. Listen, if I suffer a head wound in combat, it doesn't matter how great of weapons I have in my hands. If my head is damaged, my hands will be useless. Amen? It doesn't matter what kind of training and how courageous and how much heart I've got. If my head isn't operating properly, if my brain isn't functioning properly, My courage of heart and my strength of hands will be disconnected because my head is wrong. Amen? That's why the helmet was so important. That's why football players wear helmets, because to protect our heads. Everybody say, I got to protect my head. Now, Paul calls salvation, or he says our helmet that protects our heads is salvation. Everybody say salvation. Let me talk about salvation for just a second. Salvation. What is Paul meaning when he says salvation? The Greek word for salvation all throughout the New Testament, this is no exception, is the Greek word soterios. It's two words. A lot of it is a combination of zoe, life, and soteria in the Greek, save or rescue from danger. And so when we talk about soteria or soterios, those two words together, guess what? It does not simply just mean forgiveness from sin or rescue from danger. Salvation, listen to me close. If you don't hear anything else, get this. Salvation does not just mean simply having my sins forgiven and being rescued from hell. Salvation is accepting and receiving in my life everything that Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago to give me. And sometimes we water down and we relegate salvation to just simply having our sins forgiven so I don't go to hell. But I've got good news for you. Salvation is not just you being saved from some stuff. Salvation is you also being saved to some stuff. So it's not just God saving me from my sin and forgiving me my sin. It's Jesus saving me into a whole new way of life. A way of freedom, a life of freedom, a life of encouragement, a life of power in the Holy Spirit, a life that can stand strong when everyone else and everything else tells me I should fall. Amen? So salvation is more than just forgiveness. It's getting everything Jesus accomplished on the cross applied to my life. You're not just saved from, but you're saved to. And here's the thing about salvation. Listen, for me to live this life, for me to receive the life that Jesus, let me just back up for just a second. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly." He didn't say, "I've come just to forgive you of your sins." He didn't say, "I've come just to rescue you from hell." He said, "I've come to give you life and life more abundantly." That means overflowing, more than I could ever imagine on my own. Amen? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says that he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or even think. That's how much God wants to do in my life. That's the life that Jesus wants to save us to. Amen? That's everything. And so when we talk about salvation, salvation is more than just being rescued from something. Even and in order to receive that life, guess what? Salvation becomes not just something that happened at an altar on a Sunday morning, or not just some time that, yes, I raised my hand and answered the preacher's altar call and prayed a prayer. That's the beginning of it. But listen to me. Salvation really becomes a whole new way of viewing and seeing and thinking in my life. Salvation. Does that make sense? And so Paul says, put on the helmet of salvation. Let the life of salvation guard your mind, guard your thoughts, guard your head. Amen? Here's the new way of thinking. Here's how this new way of thinking works. Listen to me close. I can only stand strong when I should fall by this. This becomes the whole act of the Christian life. Let me sum it down in one statement. Listen, it's this. I've got to get somewhere along the way, if I'm going to receive the life and life more abundantly, exceedingly abundantly, all above I can ask or even think. If I'm going to see that in my life, guess what I've got to do? Somewhere along the way, I've got to get my head to agree with the work that Jesus has done in my heart. Amen? And that really becomes the essence of following Jesus and the Christian life. So much of the Christian journey is me making my head come into agreement with what God's Word has declared that He's done in my heart. Last week, we talked about protecting our heart, and we talked about the breastplate of righteousness, and righteousness being not some act that you do or don't do, but righteousness is the position that God has planted us in through our salvation in Jesus Christ. That is what has been done in my heart. The problem is, before that happens in my heart, I've lived a life apart from God, and I've lived my way of thinking has lined up with the way of the world's thinking, sinful thinking. So I've got this work happening in my heart, but I've got this whole other way of thinking in my head. It's getting quiet. I don't know if I'm talking too real or this is sinking in or if I'm not saying it clearly. So I've got to figure out how to get my head to line up with what I believe has happened. And that is what we talk about, having a saved way of thinking, putting on the helmet of salvation. Let me say it this way. Salvation as a helmet means this. It means that all of my thought processes should go through the filter of this. Does what I'm thinking about right now in my head, does it line up with the salvation that I've experienced in my heart? Does the thoughts that I'm having right now, that I'm dwelling on right now, does that agree with what God's word declares about me and what he has done in my heart? Amen? And if it doesn't, then I've got to figure out a way to make it right. And that, my friend, becomes the entire battle. We talk about spiritual warfare. We talk about battling for the Lord and the journey and the fight and the Christian fight. Let me tell you something. 99.9% of your fight and my fight and our fight that we have, can I tell you something? It is not with demonic spirits and principalities. It is with this 2.5-pound piece of flesh on the inside of my skull. I have no idea if that's the proper weight of a human brain. I just totally threw that out there. That is 99% of your fight. We think it's, oh, the devil's fighting me. It's the devil. Most of it's not the devil. And the enemy may be influencing some thoughts and bringing some thoughts into our mind. But can I tell you something? Listen, the Bible says that Jesus has defeated the works of the enemy. Amen? Listen, if I get my heart right and I get my head right, the demonic stuff is no problem. Amen? The main problem is getting this to line up with this. What God has done in my heart to begin to influence my head instead of letting what is happening in my head influence what I'm allowing God to do in my heart, which is often what ends up happening. Our heart and our head have to line up. Our heart, everything we saw last week, besides the belt of truth, we put on the belt of truth, and once I decide that this word is the belt, because the truth is the word of God, once I decide that the belt of truth is what's going to influence my life and be what girds up my waist and be what everything in my life is cinched together with, then guess what happens? Righteousness becomes my position. I put that armor on. Does that make sense? I wear it. It becomes part of me. Peace, the gospel of peace, I put that on. It becomes a part of me. It becomes my position. But the salvation in my head, that is something that I have to make a decision to think through every single moment of every single day. Does that make sense? And so that's why that battle becomes so strong. Flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. Paul talked a lot about the mind and the battle in the mind. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. He says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. Now, we're going to talk about the weapons in our hands next week, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. We're going to look at that next week. We talk about having strong hands, but this is what Paul's talking about. He says, those are the mighty weapons that God's given us to knock down the strongholds. Listen, the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy, verse 5, every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts, everybody say thoughts, and teach them to obey Christ. Human reasoning, false arguments, rebellious thoughts. Paul's saying we take God's weapons, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and prayer, and the shield of faith, and we have to apply those weapons into our thoughts, into our minds. And he says what we've got to do with those weapons, we use those weapons to capture and to take captive our thoughts. Amen? Let me just say this. Every single person in this room who is a child of God and who is filled with the Holy Spirit and has experienced, listen, salvation in your heart, listen to me close. If you've experienced salvation in your heart, then you have the ability and the power and the responsibility inside of you, listen, to take your thoughts captive. And you also have the power and the strength and the responsibility. Listen to me close. Everybody lean in. Everybody lean in. Everybody lean in. Give me an ear. Let me whisper in your ear for just a second. Listen. I'm going to drop some truth on you real quick. Come on, everybody lean in. Everybody lean in. Lean close. I don't want everybody to hear this. I just want you to hear this. Listen. Not only do you have the responsibility, the power, and the anointing on the inside of you to take captive your thoughts, you also have the anointing and the power and the responsibility on the inside of you to not let your thoughts take you captive. Did you hear what I just said? Because that is one of the most freeing truths that you will ever hear in your life. You do not have to be taken captive by your thoughts. Instead, through the Word of God and the salvation life in your heart, listen to me, you can instead take your thoughts captive. Now, too often, we do this the complete opposite way, and we just let our minds run wild. You ever let your mind run wild, just run down a rabbit trail that leads you into all kinds of craziness? Okay? I'm trying to think of a time that I have. I don't really think that I have. I've heard. I'm sure that I have. I just can't think of it right now off the top of my head. An example might be, I'll tell you what, actually I did have this happen one time. This almost caused a huge fight with my wife one time. She likes to look at my phone, and it's no big deal because I don't have anything to hide, but I'm just like, why are you searching my phone? And usually she's looking at my Facebook, and there's a funny thing is we have the same friends on Facebook, so she just gets bored of looking at her Facebook feed and then just picks mine up and looks at mine. I'm like, well, you're seeing the same thing you just saw. What do you, you know? And so it's no big deal. One time, though, I just thought I was going to check her phone and scroll through her messages and look at her feed and see what's going on. And she really quick came and jerked it out of my hand. Like, well, no, you can't look at that. And I was like, okay, hold up. Because we don't have a relationship like that. You're allowed to look at my phone whenever you want to, and I'm allowed to look at your phone whenever you want to. So if you're jerking your phone out of my hand, what are you hiding from me? Nothing. I'm not hiding anything. And I'm like, give me your phone right now. Now, my mind is automatic. Not that I really thought like anything was going on, but you can't help those kind of thoughts start to go crazy. And I'm like, woman, give me that phone right now. And I think I probably said that too. Give me that phone right now. And she's like, okay. And then she deleted a message. She's like, she tried to be slick. I'm like, Luann, I can see you deleting a message before you give me the phone. What in the heck is going on? What are you hiding from me? What is happening? Nothing. We're going to have a talk right now. I don't care what happened. It's about to go down. What's going on? Come to find out, she was planning some kind of surprise for Father's Day or my birthday or something. I can't remember which one. She was trying to not ruin the surprise. And I forced her to tell me what was going on in that moment because my mind ran wild for a minute, right? And you laugh at me like you haven't done that before. Wives text your husbands and don't get a text back within 1 or 2 minutes, and all of a sudden you send another text. What are you doing? Where are you at? Who are you with? What's going on? How can you answer your text right now? Where's your phone? Why do you even have a phone? You ain't going to answer your text messages. We should just cancel all the phones, blah, 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 and just start going crazy. And he was just in the bathroom. We forgot to take his phone in there with him. That's all. Daggone. But our thoughts run wild. Too many times our thoughts run wild. And we just let them run, and what happens is when I let my thoughts run wild, I end up being taken captive by my thoughts, and the Word of God says I'm supposed to be taking my thoughts captive. Amen? Now, we joke about this with some funny things, but this happens with some very serious things too. All of a sudden, a thought gets in your head. Nobody at that church likes you. Here's how it happens. Service gets over. You walk out the door, somebody was in a conversation, they just weren't, and you wanted them to say hi to you, you expected somebody to say hi to you, they didn't, and you're like, no, they didn't say hi to me, and all of a sudden a thought comes in your head, they don't like you. In fact, not only do they not like you, they're over there talking about you. Yeah, I was getting quiet because everybody's had that moment. You walk into a room and two people are laughing, they're laughing about me. They're laughing about you.
They don't like you. They're talking about you. They're running their mouth about you. Nobody in that church loves you. Nobody in that church cares about you. No, nobody likes you. You should just leave. You should just leave. You should just not go back there no more. And then you're like, fine. And you let that run wild and you're gone. And then a year goes by, 2 years go by. You've been out of church for 1, 2, 3, 4 years. And now you're wanting to get back because your life's messed up. And you're like, man, I need to connect with God again. But there's all these other thoughts in your head that have run wild that are walls in your mind. And it's keeping you out of the will of God for your life. I can probably if I sat down and thought about it for about 5 minutes, I bet you I could come up with about 5 to 10 people over my time of ministry that I've easily seen that happen to without hardly thinking about it at all. Why? Because I let my thoughts hold me captive instead of taking my thoughts captive. Amen, somebody. You get a bad report from the doctor. Something's not working out right in your body. And the thought comes, this thing's going to kill you. This thing's going to kill you. This thing's going to kill you. All of a sudden, you start dwelling on the thought. The thought starts to run wild. The thought starts to take you captive. Amen? And somewhere along the way, I've got to break that cycle, and I've got to take my thoughts captive instead of being taken captive by my thoughts. And there's so many believers, I believe, listen, that God has done incredible works in your heart. But just like a dog with a shock collar and an electric fence, your mind has been conditioned that this is the only truth you are ever gonna know is within this little circle. And it's painful to get outside of that. And if you try to get outside of that, something bad is gonna happen. And I'm here to declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ that you have the ability to break through every negative thought pattern that is holding you captive, that is breaking you down and holding you back from the plan of God in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Somebody ought to say amen. But what do we do when I've been so conditioned in my mind? Listen, that even though I believe in my heart, I just can't seem to see it in my head. I believe in my heart that God wants to set me free, but I just can't see that in my head. I believe in my heart that God wants me to worship Him in spirit and truth and in freedom, but I just can't see it in my head. I believe in my heart that God wants to provide all of my needs according to His riches and glory, but I just can't see it in my head. What do we do when my mind's been so conditioned for pain and to just stay at one level? What do we do? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. We're going to see how the helmet of salvation comes into play in our life, how the Holy Spirit puts the helmet of salvation on us. I'm going to read a few verses here. I'm going to read verses 9 through 12, then I'm going to skip down to 16. That is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Let me say something right here. Stop. Listen. God has prepared, Jesus has prepared life and life more abundantly for you. Amen? Amen? Let me say that again. Jesus has prepared life and life more abundantly for you. The problem is my mind has seen so much other stuff that it won't let me see that life that God has imagined for me. It won't let me see the healing that God has imagined for me. It won't let me see the freedom that God has imagined for me. It won't let me see the healing that God has imagined for me. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Verse 10, but, everybody say but. But it was to us, everybody say that's me. Now see, you trailed way off because your mind won't even let you believe that that's you. Like you, even if you have to lie and fake it, like you actually believe that in the Bible when it says us, it's talking about you. I want you to say that's me when I say us again. But it was to us. That was still so weak, so pathetic. We're going to get there. Let's try it one more time. But it was to us. That's a little better. That God revealed these things by His Spirit.
For by his spirit he searches, for his spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. You guys can go ahead and begin to play. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. Hold up. How are you going to know the things that God has given you? Through this Holy Spirit. Through his Holy Spirit. See, one of the biggest purposes of the Holy Spirit in the world today and in your life, in the life of the believer, I know you hear Holy Spirit, you think Pentecostal, you think speaking in tongues, you think miracles, and you think all kinds of craziness and foolishness. And listen, God help us if as a Spirit-filled church, we've relegated the Holy Spirit to an altar experience where you speak in tongues and fall out on the floor. Sometimes that kind of stuff happens as God is doing something deep in your heart that your mind and your flesh can't even comprehend. That's what that's about. But that's not what the Holy Spirit, that's not the purpose of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job in the life of the believer is to see in heaven what God has for you and then to reveal it to your heart. His job is to show you in your heart what God has already declared for you and done for you in heaven. And the reason I've got to let the Holy Spirit show me that in my heart is so that I can get a new picture in my mind of the life God has for me. Because the what my physical eyes see for too long have been telling my mind what to see. And I've got to somewhere shut my eyes so that the Holy Spirit can show something new in my heart. And if I can get a new picture in my heart from the Holy Spirit of what God wants to do and has already done in my life, if I can see it, then I can get a new picture in my mind. And when I begin to let what's in my heart, oh, this is where it gets good. If I begin to let what's in my heart begin to agree with my mind, it's only a matter of time before I start saying it. And when I start saying it, things begin to happen and move in the Spirit because God has declared and has decided that he's going to operate through the power of the spoken word. In fact, we're going to talk about that next week. The sword, you know what the sword of the Spirit is? The Bible says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Well, I thought the truth was the word of God. Yes, they're the same. However, the truth of the word is the logos, the written word. When he says sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, a couple of verses later, we're going to look at next week in a little more detail. That Greek word is the word rhema, which means spoken word. So the written word that I read and that I look and that I begin to have as a foundation of my life and my mind, that's right here. But listen, when I begin to speak the word that God's put in my heart, it becomes a weapon in my hand. God. But before I can get to any of that, I've got to let the Holy Spirit paint a new picture in my heart of the life that God has declared for me to have. Amen? Skip to verse 16. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we say that's me. Let's try that again with a little more, almost fake it. Fake it if you have to, I don't care. Just make me believe that you believe it. But we understand these things. Listen, for we have the mind of Christ. You, through the power of the Holy Spirit, have the mind of Christ. I want you to think about that. Think about what that means. What that means is that I can get a new picture in my mind of something I haven't even seen with my physical eyes. Amen, somebody? When all my physical eyes see day after day is depression,
and failure and heartache and brokenness and stuff not working right. I can close those. Oh God, I can close these eyes and let the Holy Spirit show me something from this book that's been declared in heaven. And so I can close these eyes that see nothing but depression and failure and death and disarray and brokenness. And I can let the Holy Spirit show me something in my heart. Let my heart's eyes through the Holy Spirit see healing and see restoration and see freedom. Come on, somebody. That's how the helmet of salvation works in my mind. And listen, this becomes an everyday thing. The New Living Translation, which I often read from and usually teach from, doesn't quite bear this out correctly. But if you notice the first three pieces of armor, he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness, put on the belt of truth, put on, they become a part of us. But when it comes to the faith and the helmet and the sword, he says, you got to take these things. The positional stuff becomes part of who I am. The helmet of salvation, I've got to make the decision to put that on for every battle. Amen? It's a decision I have to make to take that and have that as a part of my life. Stay on over this place this morning. Listen, I'm here in this place this morning because the Holy Spirit showed me something in my heart that my eyes couldn't see. I, 6 years ago, I saw a church here in my spirit that was going to be a place of freedom and encouragement. That was going to be a church like this community hasn't seen before, and that was going to do things for the kingdom of God that and break down doors and break through barriers that other places haven't gone to before. You understand what I'm saying? I've seen that in my heart, and that's what drives me. That's the vision I have in my mind. Now, I'll be honest. We've seen some glimmers and some glimpses and some shadows, but what you see right here still isn't. We're on the way, but it's not what we see in our hearts. Amen. And I've got to decide, God, I'm going to let what you've shown me in my heart be what I see in my mind and be what I continue to speak. What I'm saying is this. I've got to let the work of the Holy Spirit in my heart be what leads my head instead of my head dictating to the Holy Spirit what he's going to do in my heart. Amen. And I believe this morning the Holy Spirit wants to begin to rewire some of the way our minds have worked for too long. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to begin to work in your heart in such a way that's going to allow you to let the work of God in your heart dictate the thoughts in your head instead of the other way around. Amen? Amen? Everybody close your eyes and open this place this morning. Just as a way to focus. Just as a way to let the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit this morning become personal inside each and every one of our lives. I just want to ask you this question. Is your head determining what God's going to do in your heart? Or is what God's doing in your heart determining what the thoughts are in your head? From which angle are you living? I got to tell you, whatever the answer is to that question, listen, I'm telling you, that's what's going to decide your life. That's going to decide the journey you take in this life. And I'm not even saying, it doesn't mean you're not going to be a Christian, doesn't mean you're not going to love Jesus, doesn't mean you're not going to go any way to heaven, but I'm telling you this, if you live a life consistently ruled by the thoughts in your head, and your head is determining what God's doing in your heart, you are going to end up living a life way below what God has called you and made available to you as a child of God.
But if I'll ever let instead the Holy Spirit's work in my heart start to dictate the thoughts in my head, it will begin to revolutionize and change the way I follow God. I want our prayer team to come forward this morning. If you guys are here, I want to ask, Mom, I need you to come over here. Listen, if you're in this place this morning, you don't know Jesus, you have an opportunity right now to take salvation for your life. Maybe you're in this place and used to serve God, but you're far away from Him. I want you to know right now that you are not so far that God doesn't love you and that God doesn't want to, that God doesn't care about you and He doesn't want to know you and for you to know Him. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to give somebody this opportunity right now. If you're in this place this morning and you do not know Jesus, you are not following Jesus, you are not living for Him, right now you can make that decision to do that. And I want you to know a couple of things. I want you to know, number one, that God loves you. And He loves you so much that 2,000 years ago, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your and for my sins. And He did it because He loves you. And He is not mad at you. He is not upset with you. And if you're in a place in your life where you are far away from Him, I will tell you this, my friend. He is brokenhearted for you. And He wants nothing more than for you to come or to return back to His loving arms. If you're in this place this morning, you're away from Jesus, maybe for the first time, maybe for another time, you say, man, I need to recommit or I need to commit my life to the Lord. I want to know Him. I need to know His forgiveness. I want to experience what He did for me on that cross 2,000 years ago. If that's you, we just raise your hand right now in this room. Just raise your hand real quick if that's you. Amen. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Thank you. I want us to pray. I want us to pray together, everyone in this room. Everyone in this room, I want you to pray together out loud so you can hear it. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. I'm away from you, but I believe that you died on the cross and you rose from the dead. And you. And so right now, I commit myself afresh and anew to come back to you. Forgive me for the mistakes I've made and for the sins I've committed. Help me to live for you each and every day as you show me how. Be the King and the ruler and the Lord of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're honest this morning, in just a moment, the band's going to lead us in song. These altars are open. If you prayed that prayer, you raised your hand. You prayed that prayer, I want you to come in just a moment as the band begins to sing. I want you to come and meet my mom. Wave real big here. She's one of our elders here to my left, right by the keyboard. I want you to come and talk with her for just a second. We got a quick gift we want to give to you. Maybe you've been here for a time, and maybe 2 or 3 or 4 weeks ago you prayed that prayer and you didn't come talk. That's still available. I want you to do that. We want to answer any questions you have, and we want to be here for you and just pray with you a little bit. If you have any need in your life this morning, these altars are open and you can receive prayer. But one more time, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads just for one more second of reflection. And I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to put you on the spot. But if you're honest this morning, and if you're honest and say, you know what, my head has been limiting what I allow God to do to my heart. And you want to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. You don't have to know. You don't have to have all the answers or have a plan in place. Sometimes we just need to make the first step and say, God, there's a problem. And then God will begin to reveal to us the plan of what we each individually need to do to make that happen and to flip that around. But if you're this place, you say, you know what? My head has been limiting what I allow God to do in my heart. And I want to get that right this morning. Will you just raise your hand with me? Just raise your hand and say, man, I need that. I want to change that. Amen. 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 I'm going to pray this prayer for you. And for every single one of us, I want you guys to get ready. We're going to lead in worship. If you want to come up and receive prayer this morning, these altars are open. We're going to just cement this with a moment of worship this morning. And I believe God's going to begin to rewire our heads. If you would everyone in this room, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand just as a sign of openness to receive. I want to pray this over you this morning and bless you. You guys ready? Right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will begin to rewire hearts, begin to rewire minds,
that have connections that are broken between our hearts and our head in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray over every single one that raised their hand, every single person in this place today that calls Red Life home, every person that's heard this word and received this message today. Father, in Jesus' name, God, may our minds be filled with the picture that the Holy Spirit paints in the eyes of our hearts through your word, oh God, that we may stand strong in our minds and not fall in our hearts. Open our eyes to see what the Holy Spirit is revealing to us from heaven, and let that be the picture that fills both our hearts and our minds. Let our minds, let our heads, and our hearts come into agreement with everything that you have declared about our lives through your word, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.